Let's close our eyes, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can gather as a body of believers, of those who seek you, and just open our ears and open our hearts, Lord, to your word and to your spirit. Lord, do your work this morning in us, and do that which no man can do. Do an eternal transformation in us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I really want to just transfer something to you with regards to the preciousness and the richness of Jesus Christ. And if you came today to this place to get to know Christ and to draw closer to Him and to have a better understanding of Him, He says through His Word and through His Spirit, you will not be disappointed. You will not go out here disappointed. Because His Spirit is faithful and His Word is true. And when we share these things this morning, when we run through these things, become excited with me of the glorious riches and the preciousness and the victory that is in Christ Jesus. These points that we touched on last week, for those who are not here, just 30 seconds, we touched on to say, let us. So it's almost these 12 invitations from the book of Hebrews, let us. It's not something that an individual can decide to do. Lord, I want to do this. It sounds like good ideas to do. Let me do this. No, it's a responsibility as a unity of believers to say, let us. We need to do it together as a unity. You need to realize as you sit here, you are not a little island on your own. You cannot make it on the long run on your own. You need a body of believers to make it in the long run. I had to learn that the hard way. I realized that I am so dependent upon my brothers and sisters. Firstly, Christ. Secondly, my brothers and sisters to keep me in the long run. And you will see it from the words very clearly this morning. The second thing that we need to understand from a recap from last week is the book of Hebrews. For who is it written? It was written for those who has a background of church, of understanding of God, the goodness, the faithfulness, have a long relationship with God. Here we all sit. We are blessed with that. Yet, the book of Hebrews is very clear in terms of the warning. Those who are sort of used to those things, be careful. Do not become sluggish. Do not let your hearts be hardened. Do not be drifting away. So those are very real warnings for us. Okay. So now getting into those 12 things, you look at the list and you think, oh, it's an exhaustive list. Listen, it is 12 connections with Jesus Christ. It is 12 things that you can learn. It's almost a better understanding. It's an angle on a diamond. It's something that you realize a unique attribute or unique position of between you and Christ. So allow me to run through those things. We are limited with time. So I'm going to talk a little bit fast, okay, to get through these things, but I have to transfer this to you. So let's start with the first one. You can maybe just go to the next slide. See, as it woke up. So I'm going to start there with Hebrews. And we touched on this morning already concerning God's rest. So the two let us, I'm going to do number one and number two first, or together. And I'm going to read you those, a bit of background in terms of the scripture regarding the first two let us. So the first let us is let us fear. The second let us is let us be diligent, or let us labor to enter into His rest. So both of these things are to do with God's rest. Anushka touched on the rest this morning and what it is and what it is not. So let's just get a context of the scripture and just bring that, almost that practicality, that realness of this invitation out. So I'm going to read from chapter 3, verse 16. And it's about we're standing at the gates, we're standing at the Jordan River, almost to enter into the promised land. And here is God's provision for his people and say, I've given you the promised land, here it is, enter into it. And the people go like, ah, but God. So let's read. It says, for who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they will not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that we could not enter because of unbelief. So here God said, you will not enter into my rest. What was the reason, the underlying unbelief? So now the scripture comes in. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear. Let us fear. Okay? And of you seems to have come short of it. So I'm just going, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. So now it comes and makes it real at home. It's to us. The gospel has been preached to us. But the word which they heard did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith. So the gospel has been preached to you, and it was mixed with faith. You could respond and say yes. Now let's just go on that we have the second let us. So in verse 11 it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Let no one fall after the same example of the disobedience. So let's just get this clear. Here is the people of God. They didn't believe God. They didn't trust him. They didn't think that he's going to slay the giants. They said, no, we're going to perish. What did they do? They did not trust God and they could not enter his rest because of unbelief. Now we're standing at the same position, people. Today we're standing in the same position. What is that position? It's the provision of Christ. For each one of you here, God has made a provision. The provision is in Jesus Christ. Provision for your work today, this week, coming forth. There's a provision. There's a peace in that provision. Yet, we do not enter into that rest. We do not enter it because of unbelief. Because we don't trust God. We'd rather say, no, I have to do this and I have to get this done and so on. So the first connection, let us fear. Let us have a reverent fear for our God to say, he has made a way. I don't see it. I don't see it. There's a lot of pressure on me. There's a lot of big guys out there that wants to crush me. Yes, you don't see, but it's mixed with faith. Do you guys see it? It's your connection with the provision of Christ. There it is. The provision is made for you. But you must enter in that rest. Why does it say labor? Labor into rest. It doesn't make sense. Labor into rest. It's be diligent. Focus. Instead of the pressure. Instead of all the things. Pressure. Pressure. Get in the rest. Get into the provision of Jesus Christ. Is it clear? Is that connection with the very practical connection you have with Jesus Christ's provision on a daily basis, is it clear? Labor, be diligent, focus. All of those other sounds, all of those other things that wants to pull you away from that, push into the rest on a daily basis. Know there's a provision for you in Christ. Daily basis. All those fears, all of those things, it's provided in Christ. Number three. Now, I'm reading 4 verse 14. Okay, next one. Seeing then that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our confession. Now, Here is Jesus Christ, the high priest that has passed through the heavens. He has done it. He has done his work on earth. He has completed. He has finished it. He has gone through the heavens. High priest on behalf of us. Here he is. It's signifying Christ's position. It's saying, where is Jesus Christ? Now it says, let us hold fast our confession. What does that mean? Does it mean we need to confess our sins? Yes, we have to confess our sins, but this is not the context of confessing our sins. The confessing of confession, holding on to your confession, is your words, the things that you speak, what you confess to be, you align with the words of God. Your words become God's words. I mean, your words start sounding like God's words. Do you understand what it means to hold fast your confession? Somebody can just walk around. Let's use a negative example and say, oh, the teenagers last night, I'm so tired. Oh, I can't do this. I can't take it anymore. Oh, it's so tough. You know, this life is so tough. Yes, this life is tough, but what are you confessing about it? We need to have a confession of life. That's the confession of the position of Jesus Christ, is to say, yes, I have challenges, but God will take me through them. I will overcome by the power of God. Every sin, I've been washed by the blood of Jesus from every sin. If something comes across your life, you speak the word of God over that situation. You don't lie. Many people, like Annie said this morning, I woke up sick. No, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. No, you're lying. You cannot say, I'm not sick, when your body is sick. You understand? God cannot say, oh no, it's how you speak regarding your sickness. I'm so sick, I can't do this. Yes, you've just confessed. But what do you speak regarding God's word over that situation? I am being healed. As I woke up this morning feeling sickness in my body, I am being healed by the power of God. That's what you speak. I'm in a process of being restored. That is your confession. Now, very interesting. I want to just quickly take you to Scripture, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Here you are, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Okay. Consider the apostle and high priest, Jesus Christ is our apostle and high priest. Listen to this. He says, of the high priest of our confession. I just want you that sink in properly. Jesus Christ is a high priest of your confession. What does that mean? That means Jesus Christ is standing on behalf of you, ready to execute, ready to do great things, not for you, but for his kingdom through you. But what do we say? When we speak, it's almost like, I'm so tired, I can't do this, I can't take this. Then he says, I can do nothing with that confession. Nothing. You make, it's impossible for to work on your behalf. But when you speak life, you speak, I can do this, I can overcome these battles through Christ that strengthens me. He works, he acts, he is the high priest of your confession. He speaks on that. Don't get me wrong, he's not a genie. He's not gonna do things as you confess and claim it. He works for his purposes and his glory, but you need to align with that. Did you get that, church? You need to align with the purposes of Christ. And if you speak, if you align yourself with that, he is the high priest of your confession. Glory be to him. I'm carrying on now. Now there's two things. There's a position of Christ. He's here. He's in this high place. He has gone through the heavens. He has seated on the right hand of God. But at the same time, it's like this double-edged sword almost. He says, now I have empathy for you. I share in your vulnerability. He doesn't just say, yeah, I know what you're going through. He says, I have gone through it. I share your brokenness. I share your vulnerabilities. Listen to this. Verse 15. He says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all things, all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Glory to be to God. He is the perfect Lamb. But he says, when you are hit, when you are struck down, when you are at a place where you feel that you cannot carry on, know this. He knows that vulnerability. He knows that. He has been broken up until that point and even deeper. So, oh God, you know, yes, I know. I know where you are. Now come and get this invitation. He's the high priest, ready, right? And at the same time, he knows your vulnerabilities. He says, let us therefore come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of trouble. Mercy, listen to this. Mercy is when you mess up. When you make a big mistake, you need to be battered for that. If we sin, if we really mess up, it says, listen, there's punishment for sin. But mercy says you do not get what you deserve. Meaning, if you mess up, go to the throne of grace boldly. Why? Because he is the high priest. Why? Because he understands your weaknesses. God, I messed up. Boldly come to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and grace in the time of need. Grace for behalf of others. God, help me. Help the situation. This person is sick. Let us press on to that place where you are the supreme one. You have the supremacy. And you understand our weaknesses. What a beautiful place to be. Right there in the center. I'm pressing on to verse, let us, number five. Let us, number five, comes in chapter 6, verse 1. It's let us press on to maturity. Let us press on to maturity. For the sake of time, I'm just going to shorten that one. So what does maturity mean? Maturity simply means I know Christ better. That's simply what it means. It's nothing else than knowing Christ more. How do I get to know Christ more? We so know the scripture in Romans 12 verse 1 is, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Walk like the Egyptians. Talk like the Egyptians. Okay? But be transformed through the renewing of your mind. For what? So you can discern the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. So all that he says, listen, for you to grow into maturity, read and apply. Read and apply. Take this Bible, read it, apply it, get it, whatever you need, but get it. Do it. Then you will grow onto maturity. He says, actually in verse 6, it says, therefore laying the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, okay, let us go into maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. So they consider those things as basic things. So all that I'm saying is, again, your connection with Christ here is, help me, Jesus, to grow mature. I am not satisfied for where I am. I have not arrived. I don't know. Help me to press onto me. Help me to know you more. And guess what? He's the one that brings you to maturity. Not you yourself. It is him that draws you to maturity as you desire to know him. And you apply those things out of love and and obedience to Him, you grow into maturity. All right, I'm stepping on. I'm at the six. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, when you read this, all of a sudden, yeah, there's a lot of things that needs to be dealt with here. But what I want to do is the next let us is actually sitting very close to each other, those three. It is, let us draw near with a true heart. Okay. Let us draw near to the most holy place. Let us hold fast our confession without wavering. So it sounds like a little repeat there. And then the next verse is, let us consider one another. Now, these things are all connected. Now, let's just get the picture here. It's so important that you get the big picture, then you sort of go into these smaller segments. So I'm just going to take a few scriptures back, chapter 10, verse 19. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. So let's just get this picture. So God gave the tabernacle to the Jews to say, here is the way in which you get close to God. There's a veil, holiest of holiest place. I don't want to go into that detail. But it's simply when you want to get to God, you have to go into the holiest of holies. It's a very sacred place where the presence of God is. Okay? So now He says, let us go to the holiest of holies. Meaning, it's not a place, it is a person. Let us go to God. Let us press on to His presence. Now what? How? How do we do that? And here is where the confidence kicks in. By the blood of Jesus. You enter through the blood of Jesus into the Holy of Holies. He is the high priest that brings you in, but He's at the same time the offering. He was sacrificed. Now as a high priest, He brings you three. His body is the veil that was torn, that was broken. And now you can go into the Holy of Holies. Where is that Holy of Holies? It's not a little place in a little tent somewhere in Israel anymore. Glory to God. It is a place that has been prepared for each one of you. A place where only you and God knows where that is. A place where you can enter anytime. Enter, draw near. He calls you. He calls you. Draw near unto me. With what? With faith. And assurance. What is that faith based? It's wholly based on the blood of Jesus. It's that confidence. Don't come and say, yeah, God, you know what? I cannot go to the Holy of Holies. I've got this and this and this and this. Yeah, and you know what? It's really messed it up with my wife yesterday. I spoke and really... That's not where your confidence is. It's not upon who you are and what you are not and what you've done and what you've not done. Your confidence is in the blood of the Lamb. That's what brings you in there. Say, glorious God, I come before you based on what you have done. That's what the faith is. Nothing, no confidence in the flesh. You have no confidence in what you've done or achieved. Full assurance. Let us hold fast our confession without wavering. Now it's like staggering. It says, is this now a repeat? Why do we have to hear the confession again? But this time He sort of adds without wavering. It says, guys, listen, each one of you will be tested. You will be tested to say, don't go to that place. Don't go to that place. You don't have time for this. He says, hold fast your confession without wavering. Remember, your confession is only as good when the pressure comes. When that pressure builds. When your life and the things of your life just ramp up, getting more difficult, more intense. Then we will see if it holds. Then it will see if the truth that you speak so
easily holds. That's where you have to hold without wavering. Without wavering, I hold on to my confession. I know what this Bible says about me, about Jesus Christ, about His purposes is true. Doesn't matter what.
Just the piece here in James. Listen to this. It's in James chapter 1, verse 6. It says, but let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he doubts. For he doubts is like a wave in the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not a man suppose, don't even presume that you will receive anything from the Lord. He, that man in the ocean, is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. He gives us a warning. He says, hold your confession without wavering. If you waver, it's because your faith is in something else. You have to have your faith seated only in Christ. So that when that doubt, when that thing comes, you stand firm. You stand firm in your confession about who Jesus Christ is. Now, in terms of the third segment of that which almost feels for a moment out of place, but when you start unpacking it, you say it's so real. It's so real. And say, and let us consider one another. It's like, what? We're just talking about confession of faith, and we're talking about drawing near, and now it's like, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. It's like, listen, it's the same thing. It says, let us consider one another. Do not focus upon self. We're so easy to focus upon self. He says, let us consider one another. Here is the body. Let us consider one another. How to stir up each other unto good works. It's all the same thing. It's all connected here. So, just getting your boldness through the blood of Christ to enter into the most holies. You stand firm on your confession, but at the same time, you're connected. You're connected to a body of believers. Let us stir on. Let us not focus upon self, because we can get so, yes, it's my place. I'm going there. I'm holding first. And then all of a sudden, it's like, it's what we are doing. Consider each other. Jesus Christ is this absolute example. This absolute example of how to become a slave, a bond servant, just the servant to his brothers and his sisters. This absolute example. I cannot go into that. I'm going to jump. Okay. The next letter is number 9. Is let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Guys, we need to know that there is a race. It's already marked out. The lines have been marked out. The end has been marked out. Everything, your race have been planned. It's been marked out. It's like, okay, just tell me to who am I going to race. Just tell me who do I need to beat. There's no. You're not going to have to race against anybody. You race against yourself. You're not in competition with a brother and sister. Secondly, you need to know there's a prize. There is a glorious prize prepared for you. The prize of winning. Now, it's like, okay, just unpack this race quickly. Help us to understand this. Okay. Paul says, Christ has grabbed hold of me. He's grabbed hold of me for a purpose. And now Paul says, I am pressing onward to get that purpose, to fully understand the purpose for which Christ has grabbed me. So what I'm calling you is like, let us run the race with endurance. This path that God has put you on,
And we can all testify that He has done it. He has put me on this path. He has started. I'm running with Him. But now it says, with endurance. Keep on pressing on, pressing on. Do not become tired. Do not become discouraged. Press on, press on. Okay? Know where your end goal is. It's like Christ has prepared something for me. And I'm pressing on. Doesn't matter if you're old or young or whatever else. You press on. You run with endurance. Meaning you don't slack off. You don't back off. You just press on. Even if it's difficult, you press on. Now, look at this example. Look again to this connection of Christ. It's so beautiful to say, when Christ calls us to this thing, this difficult thing almost to do, and to just, then He says, look at me. Just look, just turn and look at me. Look to the next scripture. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. It's the race of Christ. He says, look at my race. What was the end goal of Christ? Save the world. As Timu read this morning, to destroy the works of Satan, to finally free all His people forever and ever. He has done it. He is seated on the right hand of the throne. But He ran the race. He pressed on. He pressed through, despising the shame. He says, listen, I throw that away. I throw that away and I focus. Now He says to you, look at me. Look at me, how I ran the race, and be encouraged. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. I am the one who does that. You grab hold onto me and you run. When things get tough, you run. You hold on to me and you run. Your legs get tired, you run. Look at this, just the next one. It says, consider Him who endured such hostility, again speaking of His race, from sinners against Himself. He says, listen, I have suffered the hostility of sinners. It says, so that you do not become weary and discouraged. And then he says, but God, I have struggled so hard. I have done so hard. I have fought the sin so hard. It's just so hard. And he says, listen here. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. You have not get to that point that you have strived against sin unto bloodshed. He says, listen. I am the one who has been tempted in all things. I am the one who leads you on. I will pull you through. He guarantees that. He guarantees that for you, church, this morning. He will pull you through. Don't care how big the problem is. He will pull you through. I'm jumping to 10. Number 10, let us have grace, says this translation. Another translation says, let us show gratitude. Gratitude. Let us be thankful. So it's so easy to say, yes, Lord, let us be thankful. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this. And it's great. But it's almost like there's a deep motivation. There's a deep, deep motivation for why. On what is your thanksgiving based? Because I can put you in the pressure cooker. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for this. Pressure. Just sitting it up to 10%. Thank you, God. I'm getting through this. 20%. Yeah, thank you, God. Let's see. We are going to get 30%. Ooh. You know, I don't think I can do this anymore. What is your thanksgiving based on? What is the core? What is the thing that makes you keep on thanksgiving, doesn't matter what? Let's read. I'm going to read there from verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now He has promised, saying, this is Him speaking, God speaking, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens. He says there's a great shaking coming, like none has seen, and it is the last shaking.
Not just the earth, but the heavens. Guys, we need to understand there's a great shaking coming, like you have not seen before. Now this, yet once more speaking, indicates the removal of those things that are not being shaken. Okay? As the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So the things that can be shaken will be shaken. And it will be shaken into small bits, fragmented into nothing. But the things that cannot be shaken will remain. Now, I'm reading verse 28. Therefore, here comes the motivation of your gratitude. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. Let us show grace. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire. Guys, the motivation is that once you're in the unshakable kingdom, doesn't matter what, doesn't matter how high that pressure cooker gauge goes, I'm in an unshakable kingdom. My God is a consuming fire. Doesn't matter the unrighteousness that has been done to me, the hostility, the evilness that has been poured upon me. My God is a consuming fire, and He will judge everything in perfection. I leave it to Him. I don't go and try and fight and make this. Oh God, they're going to do this to me. Leave it. My God is a consuming fire. So it's this balance between I'm safe, and I'm not going to jump out of there trying to do this. I'm safe, and I'm allowing God to do what He needs to do. Now we can say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Do you understand where your motivation sits? Unshakable. I'm going to verse chapter 13, verse 11. Chapter 13, verse 13. Number 11. Let us go forth to Him outside the camp. It's like, it's also a difficult one to understand. Bearing His reproach. So again, you need to get the picture here. When you get this and you read this and it's like, I don't understand this. Read the verses, try and understand. Also, there's so many reference in Hebrew to old, how they did things in the Old Testament. I do not have a time, a lot of that, but let's just go a few verses before. It says, I'm reading from verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the camp, outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. Next verse, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. And when I was reading the scripture again this morning, it's almost like God has given me some new revelation on this. It says, the context of this thing is, listen, Jesus. Okay, let's take one step back. The temple, Jerusalem, has got this holy place. It is the place most holy, sanctified, and the priest and everything rants and rave and how you enter it and all the procedures and all of these things. And they say, Jesus, outside. On that hill, you be crucified there. Out. You are like dirt. We throw you out of camp. But not knowing that they actually fulfilled some of the Old Testament principles of when a goat is placed on the sin and then he's thrown out. So they did this unknowingly. But now the picture comes in. It's like, here is the most beautiful Jerusalem. Almost like the things that we hold dear. All of the special things. All of the things we build. All of the things that is so precious to us. then the cornerstone. It's like, what is this cornerstone? No. Throw that out. The cornerstone the builders have rejected has become the chief cornerstone. They have rejected him outside. Outside they've thrown him. Now he says, you, go outside the camp. Go outside the camp. Do not hold dear the things that you think is dear, that you're building on. Go outside the camp. Go to him. Bearing his reproach, meaning the things that the world throw at you if they recognize you are a... are you a Christian? Really? Bearing his reproach. Why? Listen. He says, for here we have no continuing city, in that beautiful city, but we seek the one to come. The one which is built upon the cornerstone, the eternal city. The one that is built upon Christ, that is the one to come, the eternal one. So what I'm saying is, do not hold dear the things, the world hold dear. And I'm guilty. Don't think I'm preaching just as hard back to me as I'm preaching to you this morning. Don't hold dear those things. But go outside the camp, bearing his reproach. That is the eternal city. That is the eternal promise. Last one. It's verse 15. I say, and it's actually honor that continuing city. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now this verse of scripture from the New Living Translation says it so beautifully. It says, let us offer through Jesus Christ a continual sacrifice. Now, I just want to get that picture of continual sacrifice in your mind right. I mean, for who is it hard here to praise God? I mean, when we just spend moments ago, we praise God. It's not difficult to praise God. So how can it be a sacrifice? Listen, guys. Sacrifice means you are paying a price. It's some flesh that you put on the game. It's hard. So now I'm thinking, God, how is a sacrifice of praise? How can I do a sacrifice of praise? It's not so difficult to praise you. Guys, when you walk out of a shopping mall and your car is gone, I want to hear the words on your mouth. That's the sacrifice of praise. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know where my car is. May that car come back to me. But praise be to God. And that's a sacrifice of praise. When all other things makes you do not want to do that. When the flesh is in rebellion. It's like, what? You offer up the sacrifice of praise. When your children go like berserk through the roof, break down the house. Praise God. For his children that he's given me. I thank you, God. Guys, sacrifice of praise. Listen, this scripture is not applicable to the praise you do in church. It's excluded from the scripture. So don't think when you praise God, oh, I'm bringing the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. No, you're not. Here is it easy. Like it should be. The sacrifice of praise is where it doesn't feel like it's even possible. And what do you do with that? Look, sacrifice of praise, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. What does that mean? It says, I am not of this world. His kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom that I'm after are not of this world. Simple. That's why he can praise. That's why he can bring a sacrifice of praise.
because it's not of this world. I am allegiant. I am with Christ. I'm part of His kingdom. And that's what you're proclaiming if you're bringing a sacrifice of praise continually. So I have hope. God is faithful. He will work these things in your heart if you allow Him. Because all that I brought you this morning, I didn't even open my notes. I just brought you the description of what is laid on my heart. And may His glorious riches and the preciousness and His splendor and His power to do what He said He will do, may it manifest in each one of your lives. Because these things, none of these things can happen without Him. And when this happens in your life, He gets the glory. Let's close. Jesus, our wonderful Savior, most high, most precious, marvelous, exceedingly abundantly perfect in splendor and majesty, we bow before You, Lamb of God, the author and finisher of each one of our faith. Lord, as a body we come together, Lord, and we bow before You, and we acknowledge that You are the Holy of Holies. And all the glory and all the power and everything is due to You, Jesus. And we just yet again, as a body of believers, want to just lay down ourselves before You and say, God, Holy Spirit, work through us these words so that it can change us forever. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You that You are faithful to do what You say. And all that You need from us, Lord, is that little bit of trust in You, Lord. Draw us, Jesus, deeper, 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 deeper. We thank You, God. Through Jesus, we thank You, God. Amen.